So our scripture today is from Ephesians. It's chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you, Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Of this gospel I made a ministry according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, his grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is plain in the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I called this a God for all. So a little background here. When Paul writes this, he is Roman. He is at Roman prison. He's waiting for his trial before Nero. And so don't think of Paul being in prison as what we would think of a jail or a prison. He basically is able to rent a house that he stays in. So people, friends and family can come and see him anytime during the day. He is not able to leave. And then at night, he's literally chained to a Roman guard. So that's the kind of prison he's in. And so what Paul is saying in this is that God, our God, is for all people, because that was a new concept. Now, he's not saying, I am the first guy that thought of this. He's just saying, I'm the one who's really expounding on this, telling people about it. And this love that God has for all of us, it's his mercy, his love, and grace, and it's not just for the Jewish community, which the Jewish community believed that. So now, I'm not saying this is true today. So 2,000 years ago, the Jewish community believed that the Gentiles really didn't have any value, that'd be us. Because if you weren't Jewish, you weren't as good as them. And they thought God gave them a special birthright by being Jewish, and we've talked about that in several sermons. And the only really good use for a Gentile would be to be a slave to the Jewish people. So Paul believes that this God's love that he believes God is sharing with him is for everyone. Now, when I say everyone, I really mean everyone. So we're not going to just cut off whatever group you want to cut off here. God's love is for everyone. Now, whether they accept it or not is a different issue, but God's love is for everyone. Paul believes that that grace that God gives all of us, God has given him kind of a special recognition, I guess you would call it, to share that with the world. Now, in some ways, Paul going to prison wasn't good for him, but what it allowed him to do was to spread that gospel over really over the whole world, what was known of the known world at that time, that he wouldn't have had the opportunity to if he hadn't gone to prison. And if you remember, when he's in Jerusalem and they're kind of acting like they're going to let him go, he insists, because he's a Roman citizen, that he gets to go to Rome to be tried. Because he probably could have just got let off. If you kind of read through there, it looks like he's going to be let off. And then he just says, nope, I'm a Roman citizen. I have the right to be tried by the emperor. Then that's the only way he goes back there. So when you look at all those passages that go from Jerusalem back over to Rome, he didn't really have to do that probably. But he thought that's what God wanted him to do. And so some of those passages are good and some of those passages are bad. And even though prison wasn't prison like what we would think of prison, not being able to leave your home, being changed every night is not the same as being a free person. So that that unfreedom that he had, not probably a good word if there's any English teachers in here, that freedom that he didn't have access to, he didn't really view that as hardship, but he viewed it as a privilege because he was doing what God had asked him to do. And so even though he's in prison, he's gone under these hardships, he never expected that God was going to make his path easy, that there was always going to be bumps in the road. I talked about Enright's, and I've got both Enright books back now if somebody else wants to read it. Two thumbs up on both reviews of it if you guys want to read it. I will take your picture again. Although somebody, Bill, wanted a picture of me showing him giving me the book back today. That kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. Because I showed him, I deleted him off. I didn't tell him I had three pictures on there, but I showed him that I deleted him off. And so when we talked about the Enrights and we talked about Linda Kitchen, that those paths aren't always easy when you're following the Lord. And so we shouldn't expect it to be a smooth road. But sometimes we're going to have problems. Now, even though Paul says this isn't a new thought, that God's love is for everyone, what he tries to tell us in this scripture is, even though this is a new thought, I think this was God's purpose forever. And so from a Jewish point of view, they always thought that God, the God we celebrate, would be their God and would be only their God. And what Paul is saying, which is one of the reasons Paul's not very popular, is he's not just a Jewish God, he's the God of all people. And so we don't really see a big difference because that's kind of what we all grew up with. And a lot of times what we grow up with is we think the way things were always. But that's not the case here. This idea of God being the God of everyone is really new, relatively new. The other thing that Paul wants us to know is that the grace that God gives us is available for all of us, again, but for all times and all places. For all times and all places. So no matter where you're at, physically located, sometimes it's where we're at mentally, God's grace is available to all of us. And we don't always see that, and we don't always feel that. So now we got to do a little history again. If you remember, when the tabernacle was built, the chief priest would go in, and that was the communication with God. And they put bells around the robe, rope around their waist. And that way, if they displeased God and God killed them, and they didn't hear the bells ringing, they couldn't go in and get him because God would kill them too, was their belief. So they would have to drag him out with the rope that was tied around their waist. The other thing that Paul is telling us here is that by God sending his son to all of us, he opens up a door for us to speak to God through Jesus Christ that wasn't available before. And so we don't have to wait for the chief priest to go in and talk to God. That all of us, all of the world, whether they take advantage of it or not, has the ability to go to Jesus Christ to take our blessings, our prayers, our concerns, our joys, our sorrows, whatever it is we want to share with God, we have that ability to do that directly. So we don't have to go to the priest because it's not necessary. And again, we kind of take this for granted, but this idea that he's talking about here is really, it's earth-shattering. But the problem with us, you were talking about witnesses, we think only in the time we're in. We only think about the time we're in. And it doesn't matter whether we're young or old, whatever our time span is, that's what we think everything is. What Paul is telling us here is, this is such a change in the world And if we recognize it, it changes all of our ability to relate with God, to talk with Him. And I don't talk about this a lot, but when we go to prayer, sometimes we almost make like a wish list where we're going, well, I wish this would happen. I want this to happen. And we do that. But sometimes in prayer, we just need to be quiet and to listen, to give God a chance to talk back to us. Because it's not a one-way street. So you guys know I have grandkids. Our 4-year-old granddaughter, she just turned 4, is coming today. She is not a good listener, but she is a really good talker. So she'll just start talking, just say, whoa, 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 and you just can't get her to stop. Well, I think sometimes we do that when we go to the Lord in prayer, that we just need to stop and give God a chance to talk back to us, to tell us what He wants to do. So I remember when I sat in church at the town we don't talk about, and a lot of times when we were having prayer time or during the sermon, I would start to think about whatever was being discussed and decide if that was something I was supposed to do or not. And it was a really good time for me to just be quiet and listen. And I don't know if I didn't take enough time, but between work and kids and all the stuff I was doing sometimes, I was too busy. I just wouldn't take time to just pause. And I've told some of you this before. The hardest part for me about being the pastor is I almost never get to go to church. Because that rest time that I always found in church, if there was a Sunday I didn't go, I really missed it. I missed that just whatever the time was to just stop, to just listen. And so what I would do is encourage you all to do that. We're going to have communion in a few minutes. The kneeling rail is a little crowded, but there's room up here. If you want to come and pray before or after you take communion, that's fine. But it's a really good time in that 10 or 15 minutes that we do communion to just listen to see if God is asking you to do anything, if God is directing you in a way that you're not walking. So when we come to the new year, we always think about New Year's resolutions and what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, blah, blah, blah. Which I haven't gone to the Y for about a year because there's too many people there for me. But I always disliked January and February because everybody that's New Year's resolution was, I'm going to the Y on January the 2nd. They and their dog came that day. You couldn't get into any equipment, and you could tell who they were because they all had new stuff. They had new shoes and new clothes. They just smelled new when they walked by you. But for us, we have a chance to listen to God, to see how He wants us to go, how He wants to move us, how He wants to lead us and guide us. And so whether you take that time in church or you do it during communion, I would really recommend you doing that. When the Lord Jesus ascended, He promised to be with us always and everywhere in the power of His Word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we, all of us, offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Father, we're so grateful that we could come together this day. Be with all of us as we go out into your world. Let your love and mercy and grace shine on all of us. Amen.